Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm Grace.
And together we answer the curious questions about the world.
Yay! Nailed it. You literally nailed it.
Thank you. You know, I like to just pop in for an intro every now and then.
I love it.
And then retreat into the background.
That's such a vibe.
It is a vibe. How's it going? How are things? How we're recording this 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Yes, we are. Things are chaotic. Yeah. Life's chaotic. I'm in my sister's bedroom recording this podcast. But yeah, you know, life's okay.
We right keep on.
Moving on and doing life, and that's that. How are you?
Well, that's how it goes. I'm good. I have not made the pilgrimage to family yet, but I will tomorrow, actually.
The pilgrimage.
I know, right? It is a very selective word choice there. Yes, I will be heading home to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. I'm a little worried about the travel. Last weekend or last week, we talked about your flight. And I was saying like, oh, I'm so glad that I don't have to take a flight. But I am driving and the traffic is always like pretty bad.
That drive, like there's not any more road. Like it's pretty much like a two-lane road all the way down through Utah.
Yeah.
So if you get stuck behind someone, like it's pretty bad. Like if it takes one slow person to create some disturbances on those roads.
Well, and here's where it gets made worse is it's been almost like half a year at this point, but yeah. I got an electric car.
Oh no.
And it's been great. I love the car. I've loved owning it. No problems. Normally the charging, like when you're on the freeway, the like side of the road charging is so fast. Like it's
that's good.
One of the fastest charging cars, but I'm a little worried that some Thanksgiving traffic, those chargers are going to be full the entire time.
You might as well get an early start on it, honestly, because
I might have to. I might have to. So that sucks. We'll see. I mean, because that's what sucks is like, there's a lot of other electric cars that charge much, much, much slower. And so if one of those gets
especially in Utah.
Yeah. And so
everyone's got an electric car there.
There are a lot of electric cars here, actually, which is interesting. But yeah, we'll just have to see. We'll see what happens on my pilgrimage to
I love it.
The pilgrimage to the southern lands.
I'm like sitting on my sister's, well, there's three beds in here because all the cousins are sleeping in here. So it's my sister, me, and my other cousin. And
okay.
Like slumber party. And so I'm recording this sitting on my bed and I just like, I'm covered in cords right now. And like, it's like, I'm not really thriving if I'm being honest with you guys. Wow.
That's like the authentic Thanksgiving experience, I think.
Yeah. We're right getting there. It right now. The very authentic Thanksgiving experience. Pile everyone in rooms, call it a day.
Just not thriving is not the thriving Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That as well. Should we read some ratings and reviews? I guess positivity in this world.
I think we shall. This one, I've got something from Spotify.
Okay.
And it's more of a suggestion specifically, but there was a little Ooh. Joke and review in it. So this is coming from Da Pro.
Hello, Da Pro.
Da Pro. And they said, oh, this was on, we did a replay recently on the Urban Myths
podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this was a reply to that. And they said they would want another episode about ghosts or another Urban Myth episode would be epic.
Ooh.
They said, been listening since episode one. With a beaker and a little science pal. And they said, also, joke for Josh. Two guys walk into a bar. The third one ducks.
It's just a classic.
It's a classic. Yeah. DePro, thank you so much for listening and responding on Spotify. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think another one about some urban myths or ghosts could be a fun topic.
I think it'd be super fun. Urban myths are just fun in general.
They are.
It's like, well, what's the science behind like it, and like, is it true, is it not true, blah blah blah, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's a time when maybe the episode can be like a little lighter, a little more just
for sure,
you know. We don't have to be that serious all the time. Not that we're not serious, but
serious people.
You know, I mean, our last episode was on cancer, so like,
yeah, maybe we should have done urban myths after the cancer one. Well, thank you to Pro for your awesome message. We super appreciate it. We love all of our listeners, our Spotify friends, everyone.
Absolutely.
You guys are the best. Mine is our listener curiosity for the day. And it comes from our friend Samantha, and it's an email. Since Samantha said, Samantha said, hi, my name is Samantha. So there's the first line of that.
Hey.
I'm 11 years old, living in Arizona. I love the ocean and wild and would love if you guys would do a podcast about how every continent used to be one. I think it was called Pangea. I love your podcast and listen to it while I fall asleep. Here's a joke for Josh. Dang, Josh, you got two jokes today.
Dude, look at me. Hashtag blessed, I think.
Hashtag blessed and thankful on this Thanksgiving.
Look what I'm thankful for this year.
Josh is thankful for knock knock jokes. Okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
Lettuce.
Lettuce who?
Lettuce, and it's freezing.
Another classic joke right there.
Another classic joke. So I actually have some very mind-bending and mind-blowing information for you about Pangea and why I am obsessed with it. Like, these facts are, like, mind-boggling. So stick with us. We're getting into Pangea when we come back.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pangea!
And we're back.
We're back. I'm actually really excited to be talking about this because I, just like Samantha, am... Well, I don't know if Samantha's obsessed with this, but I have been obsessed with Pangea and how our world was once one thing. But here's the crazy thing. We don't actually know that Pangea was all connected. There's evidence of it, but no one actually knows if it was, because obviously, like, no one was around.
Sure. Yeah. That was a little before our time.
Were you obsessed with Pangea?
I can't say that I was obsessed with Pangea. I think, like many things, it's got a great name. Pangea is just like that really hits.
Those peas just hit hard.
It certainly is like a very interesting thing. Like I remember learning about it in whenever middle school science or some, I don't know, whenever you learn about that. And it was like a fascinating thing, but I want to learn more.
I've always just found it so fascinating. So for the deepest ocean trenches to the tallest mountain, plate tectonics are able to explain the features and the movement of the Earth's surface in the present and the past. So besides talking about Pangea today, we're talking about plate tectonics. Oh my gosh. Can you tell I'm excited about this? Because I really am. Okay, so the theory of plate tectonics is actually like a modern update of the Great Continental Drift. So this idea was first proposed by scientist Alfred Wegener in 1912, which said the Earth's continents had, quote unquote, drifted across the planet over time.
Okay.
Wegener didn't have an explanation for how the continents could move around the planet, but now we do. So back then, Wegener was just like, I don't know, but they all look like they went together at one point. So there's got to be an explanation, which great for him, you know, because now we have all the information that you could ever need on plate tectonics and continental drifts and all the good stuff.
I like to picture him in 1912, just like standing on the coast, some coast somewhere and just like staring off and just like shrugging and being like, yeah, I don't know. Stuff be drifting, but I don't know why.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Literally. I also can't imagine. Okay. So something that's mind boggling. How I don't understand maps.
Yeah.
How in the world did people draw maps back in the day? Because they couldn't be from really high up places. So how did they know what the coastline looked like? Or how did they know that stuff jutted out? Or how did they know that like this is what that looked like? You know,
I've had the same thought. The exact same thought many times.
Like this is 1912.
Yeah, they weren't like flying a drone over the or a satellite to get satellite imagery of the Earth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's some research out there that there might be an answer that could probably tell us how they did it. But
I hope so.
Maybe we do an episode on maps. But no, I've had the same thought of like, how did they know what anything looked like back then? Like, it makes no sense.
I don't know. Did someone like walk and like have string and they would just walk along the coast or something and like
they just
draw maybe what they measured out? I don't know.
They just had the map and they just walked and slowly just drew the
where
like,
they walked.
Shape of, yeah, like it was like, oh, okay, it's turning here. Let me draw that little jag out there. Okay, we're going back. Okay. It took them their entire life.
Quite literally. But for me, it's just like, I don't know. It just feels like a very mind-bending, boggling thing that like that was someone's job was to draw maps, which also meant walking around and like doing things.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just like, oh, let's stick the drone up in the air. It was like, no, you are going out by foot and drawing it and don't mess it up.
You are going on a treacherous journey that'll probably take your entire life and probably kill half of your crew.
Yeah.
But also, you're going to draw a map.
Yeah, so you might lose half your crew, but also you're going to go and explore uncharted territories that no one has ever been before, so you're going to be the first person to walk around here. Hope you don't run into any scary creatures or anything.
Yeah.
Like, but if you do, make sure you document it so we know it's there.
Yeah, like, when this creature's attacking you, please also write that down. Could you track that down, please? Yeah.
Please get those. my gosh.
Yeah.
It's so insane. Okay, so now we have the idea of plate tectonics. And this is the theory that the Earth's outer shell is divided into large slabs of solid rock. All right, we're running through this information because this is stuff that like everyone should know, but I have to make sure we cover it so that like people aren't lost once we start talking about tectonic plates, okay? Ready, guys? Set?
Yes.
Here we go.
Speed round.
Okay. Yeah, literally. So the outer shell is divided into large slabs of solid rock, which is called our plates. So this glides over the Earth's mantle, which is the rocky inner layer above Earth's core. Then dividing forces behind the plate tectonics is converted into the mantle. And that hot material near the Earth's core rises and the colder mantle rock sinks. It's kind of like a boiling pot on the stove. And the word Pangea comes from the Greek word of pan, which means all, and gea means earth.
All earth. Okay.
All Earth.
I've always liked to think of plate tectonics as the as one of those jigsaw puzzles where you all the things are locked in and you just slide them around to make a puzzle. Yeah, kind of like that ish.
Yeah, and I mean the best example is the boiling pot, because obviously hot rises, cold sinks, but this is all happening extremely slowly.
Yes.
So Pangaea was a massive supercontinent that formed between 320 million and 195 million years ago. So at that time, Earth didn't have seven continents, but one giant one, which was surrounded by a giant ocean called Panthalassa.
I don't know why that's like southern.
Go get your Panthalassas.
I'm going to go take a dip in Panthalassa.
Oh, sure. I've got that one Thanksgiving brain cell going on right now.
Yeah. Well, it's like one brain cell focusing on this, one focusing on turkey, and
literally
that's it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so something I just want to talk about really quick. Okay. Could you imagine the Earth now all being one and collided and being together?
I had the same thought when you read that. I was gonna ask the same question of like, what if it was like that today? If we were all just on the same continent.
Chaos.
Lots of
so
fencing.
Many
great walls formed.
Yeah,
literally. Over the years.
So the continent we know now as North America was connected with Africa, South America, and Europe. And if you look at a map, thankfully my sister has a world map in her room, and I can look at it right now. It totally tracks. Like, it looks like Brazil fits perfectly into the bottom of Africa, and it would just like slide on in there perfectly. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So Pangaea first began to be torn apart when there was a three-pronged fissure that grew between Africa, South America, and North America.
Okay.
And a fissure is a crack between continents formed by the constant pulling apart of two plate tectonics. I actually swam between two continents in Iceland.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Fun fact, Iceland will be pulled apart one day. If not by volcanoes, it'll be pulled apart by the fissure. It's called the Silfra Crack in Iceland, and it's a rift between the American and Eurasian tectonic plate. I always struggle with that word, Eurasian. Europe and Asian tectonic plate.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not a common thing elsewhere in the world.
Right.
I still really want to go to Iceland. That's, man, I'd love to go there.
It's so fascinating. It's a very magical place.
It seems like a magical place. We were literally, because one of my band members went there last year with his family, took a bunch of pictures, and we used some of those for like some of our album promotion, things like that. And then literally last week, we got together and we were talking about our second album.
You guys gonna go to Iceland?
We really want, there's no way we can, but there was so much, like we were talking about kind of what the feeling was and what the look would be. And all of it was like Iceland, all of
Icelandic.
It. Yeah. Just that like, kind of cold, you know, misty, whatever. Yeah. So maybe, probably not, definitely not, but like,
I
know,
hope you
nice.
Guys go.
Yeah.
That'd be we'll so see. Cool. When Josh goes to Iceland, he'll be able to see the Silfra Crack, but the rifting actually begins happening when magma wells up through the weaknesses in the crust, creating a volcanic rift zone. So the volcanic eruptions spewed ash and volcanic debris across the landscape as these severed continent-sized fragments of Pangaea started dividing. Can you imagine that?
Big.
Like a slab of land that large just breaking apart, magma everywhere. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, be chaos.
And the gash between the spreading continents gradually grew to form a new ocean basin, which is now called the Atlantic. And that rift zone is known as the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, continues to provide new raw volcanic material from the expanding ocean basin.
Obviously, this is like millions and millions of years, but it's so crazy to think that like the Atlantic Ocean that we know today was once a small crack.
A literal crack.
A crack. And then just over millions and millions and millions of years, it became the Atlantic Ocean.
Man, that just shows if you keep chipping away at your goals, you can be the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, man. Look at that.
Needed that one.
Needed that, just, yeah.
Just keep chipping away.
Keep chipping away. Don't and give you'll up. Be an ocean someday.
Yeah. One day. Yeah. One day your dreams will not be dreams. They
don't
will
let
be
your
real.
Dreams be dreams.
Yeah, don't let your dreams be dreams, kids. I mean, one day you can be an ocean, a well of knowledge, if you keep listening to the Random Theory podcast.
Oh my. Wow.
Okay, Pangaea, I don't know. I just like think about this all the time. Like, I look at the little islands. I'm still looking at this map, so if I'm not looking at the camera, I apologize, because I'm literally looking at a world map. Listening to this podcast, get a world map out on your phone or like stare at one. And just like think about the mass movement that had to happen. Like, I'm looking over at like Indonesia and it's literally insane.
Have you seen? Okay, because you were just saying you think about this all the time.
This is my Roman Empire.
I was just going to say, like, you know, the meme where it's like guys think about the Roman Empire like once a day or whatever.
Yeah.
You think about Pangaea once a day.
I honestly, maybe not once a day, but probably once a week. I think about it quite often. I'm not going to lie.
That does feel high. It feels pretty high.
I just think about like what would happen if like everything one day just like zoom, Ziploc baggied itself back together, which that's not going to happen because we're drifting away from Africa.
Right.
But eventually we're going to come back around the other side of the world and we're all going to collide again.
We're going to hit up on the other side.
Yeah. We'll be colliding with Russia. We're already close enough to Russia as is.
Yeah.
Especially with Alaska up there.
That's true. Alaska's just a hop, skip, and a jump from the northern
literally,
land.
Literally, though. Could you imagine if you were living off the coast of North Carolina or New York or something, and you could just, like, hop over to Italy or Europe? You could just, like, jump across it like a creek or a puddle?
You could think of it like, you know, maybe not right when it was forming, because that probably would have been insane, like, seismic activity.
It would have been so wild.
But maybe like a million years after or something.
Yeah.
Or yeah, it's like not that far. Like
you could see a little rowboat, a ferry.
Different skylines, you know, like across the way or whatever.
It's
it would
so
be like
insane.
In New York, when you know, you can see across the river or whatever.
Yeah. But it'd just be Europe. That'd be
it would
so
be
insane.
Europe. Yeah, you'd be looking from New York over into like Europe.
Actually, in the comments or ratings and reviews, whatever you want it to be, let us know what your Roman Empire is. What do you think about, if not daily, weekly?
Maybe it's
like
the Roman
it can
Empire.
Be science.
That's
maybe
fine.
It can be the Roman Empire. Yeah, that's totally fine. But back to Pangaea, because it existed for more than 100 million years. And during that time, many animal groups thrived. So during the Permian period, insects like beetles and dragonflies really flourished.
Yeah.
As did the predecessor of mammals, the synapsid.
Okay.
But the existence of Pangaea actually does overlap with the worst mass extinction in history, which is the Permian-Triassic extinction event, also called the Great Dying.
That sounds like a name from like the medieval period.
It does.
Great Dying.
This is going to be a hot take and people are probably going to be angry with me. I feel like there's a Great Dying. There has to be. There has always got to be a Great Dying. There always has to be something that happens to maintain like balance and order.
Oh, you're saying like it's a cyclical thing, like it happens.
Yes, in different forms, I think it takes place.
Yeah, yeah. I would say just with the amount of things that can go wrong and kill, specifically human. I mean, this was not humans, but it was. So I guess the amount of things that can go wrong and kill living creatures. Yeah, I think there's just like so many different odds. You know, the odds are not in our favor.
Oh my gosh.
What you got?
Have you looked at the synapsid?
What is that first picture? What? It's
I don't
like
know.
Head, and
I don't
it looks
know.
Like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The closest thing we have to it now is the capybara.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That is the closest thing we have to a synapsid nowadays. This is the funniest creature I've ever seen.
Man, it looks so dumb. It looks like it ran into a wall and smashed its head in. But in like a cute way, I guess. Like a derpy cute way. I don't know.
Yeah. This was the first mammal. Isn't that crazy?
That is
or what
crazy.
They think was the first mammal.
Sure.
I just
sure.
think that's like so insane.
It definitely, based off of these illustrations and whatnot, and then linking it to like the capybara is definitely a step down. Like it did not, it did not,
didn't evolve well.
Yeah, there's like these drawings where it's got like the giant tusks and it's all, it's like muscular and whatever. And the capybara is just like a giant guinea pig, basically.
Yeah, basically. That's hilarious. I've never heard of the Snapsids. That's new
I
for me.
I hadn't either. That's fascinating.
It's the predecessor of mammals, the Snapsids. Sorry, I like totally glanced over that at first and I was like, wait, that's actually kind of like, I don't know what that is. Let me look it up.
A live tangent fact check something. There you go.
We love a good little tangent. So
love them.
The Snapsids.
Yeah.
Cousin of the capybara. Okay, so the Great Dying, it occurred around 252 million years ago and caused 96% of all marine species and around 70% of terrestrial species to go extinct.
That's a Great Dying.
I mean, it's a Great Dying, but also, like, think about how hot the water got, which is why 96% of them died. The marine species, like, the water got so hot so quickly that it, like, they had no chance.
They're just dead. Yeah, just toasted. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, we just like filleted them.
Just boiled it.
Around 230 million years ago, some of the earliest dinosaurs emerged on Pangaea. That's what's crazy. Dinosaurs lived on Pangaea. They didn't just live in America or Africa or like they lived on Pangaea. This included theropods and largely carnivorous. I don't know why I'm struggling with words today. dinosaurs that mostly had air-filled bones and feathers similar to birds. I will die on this hill that dinosaurs were just giant birds and they were all covered in feathers. Die on that hill.
Are there people that don't believe that? Yes. Oh,
like, I thought you don't see dinosaurs on display at museums with feathers. I think they all had feathers. I think T-Rexes had feathers.
Isn't that a slightly newer discovery? Like, maybe in the last 10 or so years?
I don't remember.
I don't
But it's
either,
a hill I will die on forever.
I mean, it's not a bad hill to die on, I think.
I just think it's crazy. They had air-filled bones.
That is fascinating. Like, thinking about, I mean, obviously, like, a bird... that makes sense, but like a T-Rex, why?
Yeah.
but
now that we've talked about the dinosaurs, because you have to talk about dinosaurs at Pangaea, which is why I think about it all the time, because Pangaea and dinosaurs. The way the world is set up right now is unlikely to last. So supercontinents have formed several times in Earth's history, only to split off and form new continents. So right now, for instance, Australia is like inching towards Asia and the eastern portion of Africa is slowly peeling off from the rest of the continent.
Like, I don't know why slowly peeling off just maybe. It's like I'm picturing like a car gassing it, but just barely moving.
That's basically what's happening is like it's slowly breaking off, but it's also like... Bye.
It's like, and just like standing there waving.
Yeah, we got millions of years before it actually breaks off. But oh my gosh. This for me is actually kind of insane.
Okay.
So now we've discussed that they're moving plate tectonics, blah, 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 birds, dinosaurs.
Birds.
Based on
all the things.
All the things.
We talked about
capybaras.
Synapsids. We covered all the hits, all the big things you need to know.
Yeah. All the big things. So based on the emergence of other supercontinents and the Precambrian Superion, which is 4.5 billion to 541 million years ago, it appears that supercontinents occur periodically every 750 million years.
So it's going to happen again.
Yes.
Well,
I don't want to be here when that happens again.
I mean, you probably won't be. On that time scale, I don't know who will be here to experience that, but...
But models show how tectonic plate motion and mantle convection forces worked together to break apart and move large land masses. So, for example, Pangaea's large mass insulated the mantle underneath, causing mantle flows that triggered the initial breakup of the supercontinent. And radioactive decay of the upper mantle raised the temperature, causing an upward mantle flow that broke off the Indian subcontinent and initiated its northern movement.
Okay, right. Northern movement. And that's what formed the like Himalayas, because that's like jamming into the Indian continent. Yeah.
These models suggest that over millions of years, the Pacific Ocean will close. Like, we will no longer have a Pacific Ocean.
Oh my gosh.
As Australia, North America, and Eurasia come together in the Northern Hemisphere. Eurasia is Europe and Asia, because they'll be squished together.
Gotcha.
They already have a name for this next supercontinent. You ready for it?
Oh, we're thinking ahead. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're thinking 250 million years into the future. Yeah. So when these continents all come together, do we have a plan for this when this happens? Do our political people have they talked about what happens when all the continents come together?
Do we have a flag?
Yeah, we need a flag. Yeah.
And maybe like a, you know, we need like a slogan.
All together at once.
We're all in this together. What is the name? What's this name?
Amasia.
Amasia.
It sounds like amnesia.
It does. I don't like that.
Amasia. And of course, America had to put their name first.
I was just going to say, that's really cutting out. I feel like Australia and Africa. I mean, I guess you have the A, but.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like. Also destroying Europe. Europe is not even in that.
No, Europe will be smashed, I'm pretty sure. I think it's too fragile.
Oh, sorry, Europeans.
But there's going to be two remaining continents when the supercontinent of Amasia forms. So okay. Antarctica and South America are predicted to remain relatively immobile and to separate from the new continent.
Oh, wow. So there will be three.
There will be three continents instead of seven.
Wow, that's fast. I mean, Antarctica is obviously like barren.
Yeah, there's nothing down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like penguins, and you know, they're just chilling.
Okay, well, that is that's continents and Pangea.
Pangea.
I hope that answered your question, Samantha, about Pangea, how it formed, what was there, and what is gonna again be another Pangea, but it's gonna be Amasia.
Terrible name. They got it.
Terrible.
They got to do something there. Samantha, write in. If you got a better name, maybe we can like run it up the flagpole. Yeah.
We know no one, but we'll try.
I mean, we'll definitely try. You know, we'll put together a deck. That was fascinating. I did not know that Amasia was on its way.
Yeah. We're on our way.
You know, it's good. At least I got, you know, you got something to look forward to. I guess.
I mean, continents are crawling. I mean, they move an average of 1.5 centimeters or 0.6 inches a year. That's about the rate that your human toenail grows at, in case you were curious. So if you let your toenail grow for a year and didn't cut it or anything, that's how many how far tectonic plates have moved. Don't do that, because that's gross. I just gave you the measurements. So
trim those bad boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. Samantha, thanks for suggesting that.
Yes, thank you, Samantha.
Obviously, Grace was all in on Pangea, but now I have an appreciation for Pangea.
All right, Josh, what did you learn this week on Reddit? I'm excited.
Yeah, I told Grace it was an interesting one before we started recording. I had found something that was fascinating to me. Here's the headline. This is coming from Yahoo Finance, by the way. You physically cannot photocopy or Photoshop money. This was something when I read it and I read through the article, I was like, oh, duh, that makes sense. But I guess I hadn't thought about it, you know, like obviously I use Photoshop all the time and whatever. And I never really thought about like, oh, what if I just took a picture of a dollar bill and put it like, but now I'm like, oh, it makes sense that they would have some system in place to stop that.
It's like they hire people, like teams, to design these dollar bills. Mm-hmm. And from what I learned, like it's very, very intricate in the layers and like the detail they put into them, like the little things to make real money money and like other money not. And it's like so fascinating and crazy.
So from this article, which is actually an older article, so like who knows Who knows what it is? And even in this article, they were like, the thing that we're telling you about, they're already on to something new and no one has any information about it. So
interesting. That's so why, like, they had to change the $100 bill and like make it with that reflective band in the center and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the holographic band.
Yeah, it's like once this stuff is out, then it's no good anymore. Mm-hmm. They can't, you know, it doesn't work. So, but basically what they were doing in the past was there were a specific pattern on the bills, and the picture that they showed is a $10 bill, and there's 5 points on it that they've kind of highlighted. Basically what those would do is the software, you know, whether it's Photoshop or if you're using like a copier in your computer and it has, you know, when it's copying into the computer, it could detect those points on a dollar bill or $10 bill or whatever, and it would know, it would shut off. It wouldn't work. Like that would, it's like a kill switch basically to stop working.
Does it still work nowadays?
Like going on to reading it or going on and reading more. Like I said, there is now an even more effective and secretive method that they are using that they people don't have information about.
That is insane.
So I'm sure, like, this was years ago. I'm sure it's even more difficult or just, you know, next to impossible to photocopy or Photoshop a dollar bill.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Kids nowadays probably don't know what money is, like cash, because everyone just uses plastic now. But if you do get one, like seriously look at it. Like look at it really close and like not don't look just look at like the big things, but like there's little details everywhere on those things. I can't even imagine trying to make fake money.
Dude, it seems like it would be so hard. It would be so complex. There's
I
so
feel
many
like it's,
little
you're
details.
Better off having a job, like an actual job.
Totally, because also then like the hoops you have to go through to like try and spend that fake money to like launder it into something real or whatever. It seems like such a headache at that point. Just like
I don't know
get
how
a real
you
job.
Actually do it. Get a real job. You'll be better off that way.
Yeah, you know, whatever. I don't know, but anyway, that's what I learned on Reddit. It's very hard. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a shock, but it confirmed it's very difficult to copy money.
I'm fascinated because I knew you couldn't, but I didn't know in like what like sense you could.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm like slightly tempted to take a picture of a dollar bill and pull it into Photoshop just to see exactly what it does.
I would love you to, honestly.
You know, I don't want to like end up on a list somewhere, but
well, we're already on that because we work for T-Corp.
That is a great point. I've been on that list for like 7 years at this point. So yeah,
I feel that.
Maybe a different list. That's like a slightly different list, but
that is
a
slightly different list. Maybe you could like just write on the Photoshop screen, I'm just trying this as a test, so that like your FBI agent is like, oh yeah, I got you.
Oh,
dude.
He's cool. Just make like a separate layer, write some text that's like, this is just a test. This is for scientific purposes.
Yeah, like I just want to confirm this.
FBI agent that's like,
yeah,
watching my computer is like, oh, he's good. It's all good.
He's
Don't
fine.
Worry about it.
He's good. He's good. That would be so funny. Man, capybaras, money, Amasia, Pangea. What would the currency be if we all like combine? Like there has to be a different currency. Like we all have to use the same one at that point because that'd just be way
too
messy.
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like in all the futuristic movies and video games, it's always just like credits. They just call them credits. You know what I mean? Usually just something like that. That's just gotta
be. But do you start over with like zero credits or like whatever money you have, like they put a worth
like
on the credits.
Converted into credits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably that. Like they would just convert it into whatever the new form of currency is.
Take the average of all the countries and then.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about like current, like what is that? Like
the
GDP
weight.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the weight of our money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you would have to take an average and then find the average and then that would be how much it's worth.
Well, I guess there would still be countries. They're just now together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be like Europe is basically with all the different countries.
Yeah.
I mean, it could. Who knows, though? It could become one giant super country.
Could you imagine?
This is also 250 million years in the future when...
I need to not worry about this.
Everyone might be dead. Who knows?
We don't know. But there you go. that's tectonic plates and everything else, Pangea. Yeah. We covered it all today, honestly.
We truly did. We truly did.
I love it. All right, you guys. Well, have a great day. Go be curious. Go learn something new. And shoot us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or send us an email where?
RandomTheoryPod@gmail.com.
Bada bing, bada boom. We'll see you guys in the next one. Talk to you later, science pals.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.